How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. We're 2 days away from opening day, and the Yankees are already dealing with injuries. As we know, Gerrit Cole out for a couple months here, and DJ LeMay, who was placed on the injured list yesterday, opening up some questions, and we're kind of concerned about what their alternative plan is here. For now, it seems like Oswaldo Cabrera will get the start at third base in the hot corner, but we know that he's more of an offensive liability than he is an asset. We know that he's a fine defensive player. He can plug the position, do it at a relatively good level. But we know that we're missing DJ LeMahieu's bat significantly, opens up the leadoff spot. How much faith do we have in Oswaldo? We're going to talk about what he's done this spring and where we've seen some minor improvements, reason to believe that maybe he could turn things around or trend in a better direction, how long we think DJ will be out for. But Ryan, before we dive into the good stuff, how are you today, my friend?
I'm doing really well. And, you know, as you talk about the injury situation with the Yankees, kind of what they're going through at third base specifically, that's a position of intrigue, and not in a great way. It's a position where the Yankees are significantly weaker than they were to open the year. I didn't necessarily think they were strong there even in spring training. We kind of floated, at least had conversations about, like, should the Yankees bring in a guy like Matt Chapman, right? And I was a big proponent of that because of my lack of comfort at third base. When you lose your starter and when you lose your reserve guy, it would be weird for me to come on here and say, yeah, I mean, you know, LeMahieu's going to be out for a couple days. We don't know how long, but he shouldn't be out for too long. Who cares? Like, it's whatever. As well as Cabrera starting third base, and that's whatever. We have consistently sat here and talked about how we don't want to be in a position where Oswaldo Cabrera is a starter. Now, do I prefer him in the infield over the outfield? Yes, absolutely. We've also talked about that as well. But, I mean, I'm not going to mince words here, Alex. This is really bad for the Yankees because when LeMahieu comes back, you're a little bit worried about kind of how he comes back. You don't want to rush him back. You don't want him to re-aggravate that injury. It actually is on the same foot as the one he had in 2022. I know I've said a couple times that it wasn't, but it turns out it was. I think initially it was misreported, and then, or like there was like a just like lack of, might have been miswording on Twitter, and I read it incorrectly, but to confirm, it is, now that we know, it is on the same foot. So that's concerning, Alex, because we obviously know, you know, he came back in 2022 for a little bit, didn't really hit the same way. If you guys remember in 2022, LeMahieu opened the year, and he was legitimately one of the better players on this team. He was mashing the ball, great OBP. He was the leadoff hitter that we've always wanted on this ball club, and he's someone who had a great second half last year. Now, how much do you buy into that second half? I'm not necessarily sure. You could argue his swing mechanics finally got back in tune. But now that he's kind of hurt, right? Like, how do the mechanics adjust there? Like, is he going to have to compensate with pain or anything? Did it re-aggravate anything that he had going on down there? What will this MRI reveal in terms of inflammation, right? Like, those are a lot of questions that the Yankees are going to have to answer in about 48 hours, let's say. Let's give them a two-day window to kind of figure this out. And the biggest thing is that, I mean, based on how they talk about other injuries, we won't know exactly what's going on until the MRI comes out. So from our understanding, yeah, he shouldn't be out for too long, but about a week ago, our understanding was that it was precautionary. And about 5 days ago, our understanding was that he might just miss opening day. And now our understanding is that he's going to at least miss 10 days of the regular season. The Yankees opened the season up with 7 straight days, so you're going to be missing actual playing time, like legitimate games. There's not a lot of off days in there to kind of offset it. And there are already skepticisms about LeMahieu. We talked about the fact that, yeah, you know, let's say it's mid-May and you don't have your first baseman, your third baseman. We were talking about LeMahieu and Rizzo as the two guys that, like, hey, they could get hurt pretty easily. Rizzo had lat tightness. Obviously, he returned back to the lineup. That's encouraging. LeMahieu's going to be on the IL. This isn't us saying, look at how smart we are, but more so saying injuries happen. This is a natural part of the game. This isn't like some earth-shattering season-ending situation, but the Yankees obviously have some questions to answer. It's always, when we're talking about an injury, is it always as bad as we may initially think in terms of how detrimental it is to the team? Usually no, but is it ever good? Also no, right? Like, it kind of sits in that fine gray area, and I hate fence sitting, don't get me wrong, but it is important to have some nuance here. End of the day, Alex, I just don't see a capable replacement. Again, I love Oswaldo Cabrera, great dude. We got to meet him when he went to Jersey. Phenomenal guy, and I'm rooting for him. I've always been a big fan of Cabrera, and I hope he turns it around and he has the year he had in 2022, but over the course of the full season, we talked about him potentially earning, like, a job at third base because third base is an open position. It's about as good as a chance. If you're Oswaldo Cabrera, you got to be licking your chops right now. This is your chance. When you worked, when you went and played in a winter league in Venezuela, when you worked on hitting lefty against lefties, this is why you prepared for it. It wasn't so that you could be the bench guy. It was so that you can maybe earn a job as a starter because that's where the money is. Like, I know that people don't want to think about it this way, but as anybody else. Like, we obviously are all going to focus on money and stuff of that nature. Cabrera wants to get paid. He doesn't want to be a 200 at bats every year kind of guy, because those are the kind of guys that the Yankees just replace at the end of the year. He wants to be an everyday contributor, and this is his chance to kind of earn that job. So for LeMahieu, it stings. For the Yankees, it stings. For the depth, it stings. The Yankees are not. This is a bad situation for the Yankees, and it's at a position where they're already weak. But for Oswaldo Cabrera, Alex, this is an opportunity, and sometimes all it takes is one opportunity to define your career.
Absolutely. It really is just one opportunity and things can change. And Cabrera, you know, to start this spring was pretty freaking terrible. He had one hit in his first 9 games. One hit. Obviously not trending in the direction that we wanted to. And then he has a three-hit performance, you know, looks pretty good. Has three singles on March 10th against Atlanta. Has another hit the next day against Philadelphia. And then he goes without a hit, has another hit, a couple days of that one. Over the last 5 games of spring training, he's had 4 hits, a single, a double, and a home, 2 homers, and a couple of runs, a couple of RBIs. So he's starting to pick things up a little bit over the last 5 days. But again, it's not much to write home about. I wouldn't sit here and tell you it's that great. I mean, over his last 17 at-bats, he is hitting .294 with 2 homers and 3 RBIs and 4 Ks, a couple walks. So, you know, trending in a better direction. Again, the sample size is small, so it's hard to make any real, like, you know, assumptions or generalizations based on those numbers. Last year, he played 115 games, had a 60 WRC plus, hit .211, the .275 OBP. He was just bad. Like, there's no other way to describe it. He was bad. And the thing is, he's a great dude, as you mentioned. So, like, we want Cabrera to pan out. We want him to be a good player. Hopefully, more at-bats will allow him to hit a little bit better. He just could not. Like, he just was having a really tough time telling what pitch was coming, you know, predicting what was going to happen and taking advantage of that. His eye, obviously very undertrained in a lot of ways, but, you know, the Yankees are trying to push him along, develop him in real time. The at-bats this year, like, this will be the year that really defines if he has a future with this team. And personally, I think that we're probably going to see if he can hit relatively decent, .240, .250 with, you know, an on-base percentage above 30%. Maybe he does have a future on this team as an average-level utility man. But if he struggles again, the Yankees might have a situation on their hands where they have to sign somebody. He has 2 minor league options, so they could send him back down again. But 25 years old, struggling to find your offensive groove. You know, some players are late bloomers, but, you know, Cabrera needs to take steps forward. Do you think that the Yankees are going to make an acquisition at the deadline? Rather, not at the deadline, but before the season starts, even a couple days after. They don't have to really rush anything. They could give Cabrera the job for a couple days, see if he starts to hit, you know, see if he starts to kind of gain some momentum. But if he doesn't, do you think the Yankees will look to the veteran free agent market or maybe even via trade to help supplement this position? Because right now, I do think they need another competitor at the very least without Peraza. And again, Peraza looked awful in spring too. So it's like we really need someone that can just go up there. We can feel confident we'll hit at least at an average level. That's why you were really high on Donovan Solano, who still, I believe, is a free agent.
So here's the problem with signing a free agent. They haven't played in spring training, so they're not going to be built up. And it's... You could say, I mean, again, I'm willing to say acknowledge a couple of important things. Number one, if the New York Yankees had the budget to pay, I'm not in negotiations, obviously, like I've been here this entire time. but, you know, if the Yankees had a $4 million offer for Enrique Hernandez I think it was a $2 million offer for Amed Rosario. I actually think Joel Sherman corrected that it was not $4 million, it was like $2.5 million. If they had that money for those two guys, and Solano was willing to take that money to play for the Yankees, and they didn't make that offer, they never had that conversation, it doesn't matter that now they can't do it because he's not ready. That's a failure on their end. I'm not saying that Yankee fans should start, like, kind of bludgeoning Brian Cashman for it, because, again, we don't know what Donovan Solano is asking for. We don't know how interested Donovan Solano was of being a bench player. We don't know what the Yankees are willing to offer him. We don't know what he's even doing. We don't have any public information about his offseason work. So, you know, there's a lot of details in there where all it takes is finding out something that we just can't know in order for it to be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And you know what? You know, I heard Joel Sherman talking about this earlier today in regards to Jordan Montgomery. There are 29 other teams in the league, and there are 29 other teams, and I promise you, not all 29 of them have a better infield situation than the Yankees. So just like, oh, the Yankees should sign Donovan Solano, why haven't they? Why haven't other teams signed him, right? So, you know, I'm not going to rip them to shreds for it. I think that they overlooked third base, but... that's separate from like, okay, what should they have done? That's where you kind of start getting into the nitty gritty and like, I kind of understand how things shaked out the way they did, but they need to get a utility infielder now. There are no excuses. They have to do it now. I don't care if it's a bad player, I kind of like throwing this out here as well. You're not going to acquire a good player to be your backup infielder, because Cabrera's your utility guy who's supposed to be on the bench to open the year. This is before guys got hurt. Peraza was your projected utility infielder. I think he was going to make the team. I know that they were looking, but I think he would have inevitably made the team, right? And LeMahieu was your third baseman. That means that the next guy up that you signed, the Yankees didn't sign or acquire this player with Oswald Peraza on the roster. You kind of assumed that that player wasn't considered considerably better than Peraza, might have even lost the job to Peraza if they were just in the same camp and competed, and Peraza stayed healthy. This is your fourth option at third base. Your fourth option at third base is going to be a bad player. Just... there is no way that your fourth option at third base, unless you have some unbelievable hit with your player development and scouting, there is a very, very, we're talking like 0.1% chance, 1%, 2%, let's say, that this player is going to produce anything for you, right? Much less a backup infielder. It's like in any sport, your backup point guard isn't an all-NBA player. Your backup quarterback isn't going to go to the Pro Bowl, you know what I mean? Unless it's Tyler Huntley for some reason, but that's a different conversation. My point is, your backups aren't good. Backups are never good. So, Alex, I don't even care. I don't care about they're not good, this and that. You just need a body. You just need a body, because if LeMahieu's not gone for that long, they're easy to cut. You kind of want your guys with a lot of upside that are young, he's hurt, so I'm not going to throw him in that group. Vivas, Durbin, I don't want Vivas and Durbin to be rushed up to open for opening day. I know Vivas is currently hurt, but if he wasn't hurt, I know he had that facial injury, I don't know how long he'll be out. If those two guys were available options, I also wouldn't choose them to be our utility infielders. Let them rot on the bench for 15 days and not get that necessary development in AAA. No, thank you. Let them play in AAA. Let them get their reps going so that when you need them for a full-time role, because maybe there's a more extensive injury or a guy is just straight up washed, then you can go to them. You know what I'm saying? So, I think a veteran guy that you can easily cut is, it's not a problem to me, because I understand that this is their fourth guy up for the third base position.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, right now the Yankees have some issues, but you know what helps a lot? Having Juan Soto and Aaron Judge in your damn lineup. That helps a freaking lot. Especially, and by the way, maybe this is a hot take, Ryan. You want to know who I think is going to have a really great year if he stays healthy? Rizzo. I think Rizzo is going to have a dominant 2024 season. Before that concussion last season, he was one of our best hitters. He was actually, I think his numbers were even better than Judge's before he went down. And honestly, I don't think he's going to be better than Judge, by no means. But I think that Rizzo is being heavily undervalued right now, especially if you're a sports bettor and you're trying to take some overs. RBIs over on Rizzo, guys. That's where I'm looking, because right now he's going to be sitting behind Judge and Soto, and those guys walk at a 40% clip, if not better. And you want to know who puts the ball in play? You want to know who drives runners in? Anthony freaking Rizzo. So that's the guy if I'm looking to take a bet right now. And we're going to have him all over our Fireside Bets channel as well, posting some season-long entries for MLB. But also, we're going to be doing some Yankees parlays that we're going to tail on a day-to-day basis. Really fun to kind of have a little bit of a skin in the game while watching the Yankees. Should be a lot more enjoyable than just watching them pound the crap out of the Red Sox this season. And, you know, shout out to Baseball Reference for having us at 71 wins. Absolute methamphetamine activated kind of narrative there. But I'll tell you what, that Blue Crystal be hitting if Walter White's cooking. And right now I feel as though the Yankees are going to be a little bit better than a 71 win team. I'm looking more at the 95 win range. I'll let you get your take on that, because I think that they're basing it off of the last 100 games of the season, which is the stupidest way to predict a future team's wins. Not incorporating the win value of adding Juan Soto to your projections, how much worse could you build an algorithm? An algorithm that doesn't factor in a Hall of Fame level hitter that you added this offseason into your win totals. Make it make sense. I don't know how on earth they came up with that nonsense.
I mean, you're asking me to make it make sense, and I can't do that. I don't think I can do that, but I can explain that it's dumb, right? Like, as you mentioned, it doesn't factor in Juan Soto. It's not really a projection. You don't even want to argue it's a projection. It's a really weird thing to throw on their site, considering, like, again, it's not really a projection. It's kind of like a, yeah, if the Yankees continue to get, like, 6-7 ERA calls Rodon, and like, remember, you have to cut off you cut it off at 100 games. Cortez got off to like a decent start. I'm pretty sure in the month of April he had a sub-4 ERA. So you have to take his ERA after that point in time. We're talking like 7 ERA Nestor, 7 ERA Rodon, the 8 ERA that Stroman put up in the second half. Obviously, he was on the Cubs, so we weren't really paying attention to that. Schmidt with like a 4 ERA, and then Heald didn't pitch, so I don't even know what they project for him. I mean, yeah, like Rizzo's concussion, you take away, you talk about that great first start he had in April and May, and yeah, it was, we're not exaggerating, he had like a 140 something WRC plus. The guy was unbelievable, and he was playing great defense too. So Alex, you have to take like a 30 WRC plus basically, like that's the hitter he was. Or I'm trying to look at like other guys. Volpe, I mean, Volpe got better throughout the year, so he wouldn't be like a guy who gets hurt by this. Same with LeMahieu. But like Wells was a 90 WRC plus guy. That's assuming he doesn't get any better. You're assuming Verdugo had an awful second half. Grisham kind of was just not great all year. You have Stanton was really bad after April. He was terrible when he came back from that injury. So yeah, I mean, this projection system's basically saying, yeah, if the Yankees just continued to play the way they did, and you remember how miserable things got in August, like August might be the darkest period of Fireside Yankees. Like, I'm willing to throw that out there. Like, if you want to, I mean, maybe that August run, August is just a bad month for us. Like, 2022 was pretty rough as well, now that I think about it, right? Like, yeah, 2022, that August was brutal. I'd say 2023 August was probably the worst month of the Fireside Yankees channel because we were bad and bad. Like, at least in 2022, we knew we were going to get to the playoffs and win the division. So yeah, if you took the most miserable month in this podcast's history by far, and if we played it over 162 games, yeah, we'd win 71. That makes sense. But like, it's not a project. It's a really stupid way to project. Look, no disrespect, I don't have a projection model. I just kind of, you know, wing it. So I understand. I think models are important, having good data models, but I'm not sure the R squared or the coefficient or whatever you want to call it, I don't know if any of that is really good. So yeah, I don't know, man. It's I'm trying to say it the nicest way possible, but like, that shit's ass. Like, it just is.
Yeah, it really is. But you know, guys, I'd love to hear your perspectives down below on DJ LeMahieu, you know, him being placed on the injury list. Do you have faith in Oswaldo Cabrera? There's a lot of concerns, but fortunately we have the offense to pick it up, and we're excited about this rotation, even though there are some concerns there as well. Cole will be back at some point. We really like Luis Heald. We're excited to see him get some starts this season. No innings limitation, so we're really happy about that. But as always, happy to hear your thoughts down below. Make sure to like and subscribe as always, and we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.